I just want to begin today's word by a quick word of prayer. We just pray for a moment here as we continue our third part of our series, Growing Pains. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the word that we're about to receive. Father, for some, it's going to be something they've heard for the first time. For another, it's something they've heard repeatedly but refused to change it. I just pray, God, that today you would bless this word, anointed, and let us all just apply it to our lives as we just learn this right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I got another painful sermon for you this Sunday. Yes, you guys ready for this one? As we go into our series, Growing Pains, and we're experiencing the growth that the Lord wants us to have, I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I was reading this in my own time this week, and I noticed something that I wanted to add to this series. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. You can follow along with me here. It says, during the harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David in the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines were camped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in a stronghold at the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine line to draw water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord, saying, far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. It is not the blood of men who went and risked their lives. And David would not drink it. Let me make a note of this. Even though David longed for it and he wanted it and he thought about it, he did not drink that water. This morning, I want to speak to you briefly on a subject on how to demolish strongholds. You might be thinking, well, I don't even know what a stronghold is, but you will after this message. How to demolish a stronghold in your life. Many people aren't even aware that they're under a stronghold. As a pastor of many years, I've seen so many people have a stronghold in their life, and the reason that they have this stronghold is because they've never acknowledged that they even have it. See, a stronghold in the Old Testament was a fortified place, a trench that you would build to protect yourself from the enemy. In the Old Testament, God refers to himself as a stronghold. In other words, God says, I am the one that you come to for protection. I'm the one that you hide under. I'm the one that you seek for cover when the enemy is attacking you. So when you read it in the Old Testament, you're probably wondering, well, Pastor, then why would you want to demolish a stronghold if God uses it in a positive way? But understand this, in the Old Testament, yes, God refers to a stronghold as one of his identities, and it's very positive. Whenever you're going under an intense attack from the enemy, God says, come to me, seek me, I will be your refuge, I will bring you peace, I will protect your life. However, in the New Testament, a stronghold is used in a negative way. In fact, I want you to see this as Paul describes a stronghold in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. As we go there, Paul says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. So he says, listen, there's a battle going on. There's a war going on in this life of yours. But notice, he said, it's not of this world. It's not a physical one. So he's talking about a spiritual war, a spiritual battle in your life. So he says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. Everyone say it together, to demolish what? Strongholds. So Paul says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I want you to look at verse 5, what he says here. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want you to understand what Paul says here. That in the life of every believer, there is a battle. There is a war within them. And Paul refers this as a stronghold. And we are to demolish these strongholds. But you're probably thinking, well, but Pastor, how do you best define what a stronghold is? Well, a stronghold is a battle within you that tries to affect your relationship with God. It's an emotion. It's a thought that keeps you from experiencing the peace and the joy and the power that God wants you to experience. Again, a stronghold is any emotion and any thought that is preventing me from enjoying my life, my peace, and the power that God has died for me to receive. In fact, here's a list of some of these strongholds. Now, I want you to be aware of this list and look at it closely to see if any of them you identify with. These are some strongholds that the New Testament talks about. Anger, fear, abandonment, shame, lying, financial lack, addiction, jealousy, depression, pride, grief, laziness, discontentment. These are all strongholds that can set themselves up in your mind, in your emotions. And these can be all experienced by a believer, by someone that has put their faith or her faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, when you have a stronghold in your life, understand this, folks. You can be in church and have one of these strongholds. You can pray and have one of these strongholds. You can believe in Jesus and have one of these strongholds. You can be worshiping and under one of these strongholds. So just because you say, well, I'm a Christian and I know I don't have any strongholds, believe me, Paul wrote that letter in 2 Corinthians to a church. Not to pagans, not to anyone that doesn't know Jesus Christ. He wrote this to a church, establishing my point. Christians and believers alike can suffer from strongholds. All of these things in your mind and your emotions will keep you from enjoying a life of peace and joy. In fact, the first time I was aware of strongholds in the life of a believer is when I was probably 22 years old. So not that long ago. 22 years old. I remember in another church that I was a part of, when I was doing the youth ministry there, there was a young girl that she was my go-to girl for ministry. She was the one that, she was a young high school girl. She knew her Bible. She loved to serve. She was always there early. She was always the last one out. She was always setting up. She was the loudest one worshiping in a good way. She was always serving. She was always just so in love with Jesus Christ. And when I looked at this girl, I said, man, this is the girl that I wish I had in every youth ministry. That's how amazingly spiritual this girl was. And she really was. She even taught some classes. She was one of people that I'd always go to say, hey, can you help me with this? And she said, yes, Pastor, I will be right there. And she was truly magnificent. Until one day, I get a call from another pastor that I worked with. He told me that she was in the hospital because she had attempted to kill herself. And this just blew my mind because I said, how does someone with such joy and such enthusiasm for Christ and church and ministry try to end their life this way? You know, thankfully, she's okay today in serving God. But as I went there to visit her, I asked her, what's going on? Why did you even do this? I was upset. I was mad at her. I said, how can you do this selfish thing? And she began to tell me something that I see today as a stronghold. See, she told me that when she was just 12 years old, her father and uncles and a few cousins locked her in a dark room, and each of them had their way with her at 12 years old. And ever since that, she suffered abandonment. She suffered fear. She had a lot of grief. She had a lot of guilt. And as a result, every time, she says, every time I was worshiping, Yeah, I love Jesus. Every time I was in church, I was happy. But somewhere deep down inside, I had this guilt. I had this anger. I had this resentment. And I convinced myself that I was just a problem. That's why I try to end my life. You see, that's what a stronghold does. You can be in church. You can be smiling. You can be laughing. You can cover it all up. But deep down inside, a lot of people in the church, there's a stronghold. A stronghold is something that has a strong hold on you. A strong thought. A strong emotion. And it can be any of these. If you just have one of these, it's enough for Satan to do so much damage in your life. So whether you have anger right now, you have shame, or maybe you're dealing with jealousy or depression or grief or loneliness or laziness, understand just one stronghold is enough to ruin your life. In fact, this is what I see in the story of David. The Bible says something interesting. It notes that during the harvest time, you see, in this story that I read to you, there's a lot of metaphors there spiritually that show us what a stronghold does. The Bible says it was during the harvest time. And in the Bible, the harvest was always a symbol of a time of blessing. But notice that it was during the harvest time, the enemy, the Philistines, this represents the enemy, took over and occupied the territory that belonged to David. And because the enemy occupied that territory, David was no longer able to experience the joy of the harvest. In fact, not only could he not be in the harvest time, he found himself, because of the enemy's territory, in a stronghold. And did you notice that in that stronghold, he was thirsty? And in the Bible, thirst was always a symbol of void, of emptiness. And this is what God is saying here through the story of David. Strongholds happen when the enemy, Satan, takes over a territory in your life that does not belong to him. It could be your family. It could be your marriage. It can be your health. It can be your joy, your peace, your power. When the enemy takes over that territory in your life, notice you will not experience the blessing of God. Rather, you will be inside a stronghold. And that stronghold makes you void. It makes you feel empty. It makes you feel hopeless. It makes you long. And this is why strongholds must be demolished. Because if you're living your life with any of this, a believer cannot experience the blessings of God if they're living with constant fear. If you're going to bed at night and waking up every day with fear and imagining the worst situations happening to you, you're not going to experience any peace in your life. If you have anger right now, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness over what someone did or said or didn't do for you, you're not going to experience the blessings of God. You have grief. You may have depression and jealousy. It is impossible for you to experience the joy and the blessings of God when these strongholds take territory in your mindset. And some of these strongholds are voluntary and others are involuntary. Let me explain that. Some of the strongholds you have right now, you built yourself. For example, voluntary strongholds, financial lack. Let me ask you a question. Did someone force you to swipe that credit card for that purse you know you didn't need? Ladies? That's a voluntary stronghold. You become addicted to shopping. You become addicted to purchasing things, and you need this, and you need upgrades, and you're always spending money, and no one's forcing you to, but all of a sudden, it's a stronghold in your life. You have financial problems now. You're in debt. You can't pay what needs to be paid. And now you're saying, well, I did this to myself. Addiction is a voluntary stronghold. People say, yeah, it runs in my family. Understand this, which I'm going to explain next week. Addictions are voluntary. No one forced that bottle in your mouth. No one forced that needle in your arm. Those pills that you opened, that pornography you're watching, You voluntarily turned that on. No one forced you. And now you're in a stronghold. Laziness is voluntary. No one's forcing you to stay in that couch all day and do nothing. No one's forcing you to just lay back and let life happen. But I'm just going with the flow. That is just such a demonic lie. Laziness is voluntary. Anger is voluntary. No, the pastor, you're wrong there. They make me angry. No, you let them make you angry. Anger is voluntary. No one forces you to stay silent and give them the silent treatment. No one forced you to throw that and break it against the wall. No one forced you in your anger to say those words that would bring them down. So some strongholds are voluntary, and you build them up yourself. Some strongholds are not voluntary. They just happen naturally in your emotions as a result of experiences in your life. Abandonment is involuntary. You couldn't control the outcome of that divorce. You couldn't control the outcome of a spouse leaving you. You couldn't control the outcome of parents abandoning you, a father that left. You can't control that. But now a stronghold of abandonment has set itself in. You can't control shame. Maybe because of a voluntary stronghold, now you have an involuntary shame. You look at yourself with disgust. You look at yourself like you're the worst Christian in the world. You look at yourself like you're worthless. You're good for nothing. You see, there's a lot of strongholds in our lives that are voluntary and involuntary. Fear is one of those involuntary emotions that sometimes you can't seem to help it, but those thoughts of fear just come to you. You might be driving, you might be at work, you might be now at church, and a random thought of fear comes and it just whispers to you. You're enjoying this sermon right now and a voice tells you, hey, by the way, you're going to be alone forever. You're raising your kids, you're having fun, and a voice comes, hey, those kids are never going to grow up to love the Lord. You have fears of losing your home. You have fears of losing your marriage. All these just emotions come in uncontrollably, yes, because there's some strongholds that are involuntary, while others are very voluntary. But no matter whether it's voluntary or involuntary, they all have to be demolished. You see, strongholds not only are something that you can set up yourself, but one of the things that I've heard many times that angers me in a righteous way, when people say, listen, Pastor, my problems, my strongholds are between me and God. It's not true. Can I tell you that all these strongholds affect those around you? It's such a selfish thing for you to think that your stronghold is only affecting you. My addiction is only affecting me. No. That pornography you're watching is affecting your spouse. That drug that you're in right now is affecting your family. All the strongholds that you have right now affect those around you. In fact, notice in that stronghold, David was not alone. So strongholds are something that you will never experience just by yourself and between you and God. So when you don't demolish a stronghold, those strongholds will demolish those relationships. Many marriages and families and churches and friendships are broken and demolished because of a stronghold that hasn't been demolished. You guys with me here this morning? Let me give you an example. How many single people do I have? Raise your hand. Single people. Good. What happens if you begin to date someone that has a stronghold of jealousy? They're always checking your phone. They're like, where have you been? Always questioning, never trusting you, always driving around checking on you. And that stronghold of jealousy is going to affect that relationship, would it not? All right, where are my married people at? All right, good. What if you married someone that now has a stronghold of anger? And everything, you come home angry, and they blame you for everything, they have a bad attitude, they're selfish, they're always just criticizing you, and they're just angry at life. Wouldn't your marriage be awesome? But see, that stronghold now is affecting that marriage. If you have a business and you're a manager or you're an authority of some type, what if you have an employee that has a stronghold of lying? And every time you come, they tell you, oh, I'm sick, you know, and then you see them at the beach. And you see them lying and taking money from you. And lying about everything. Hey, that's someone that's a shoo-in for a promotion. But you see how that stronghold now affects the company. What if you have someone that has financial lack? You're a saver, but they're a spender. And everything you work hard for and everything you saved, because of their stronghold, you just spend everything. Wouldn't that affect your relationship? Strongholds do not only affect you. If you have a friend that has a stronghold of pride, they're always right. They're always telling you what to do. They're never wrong. They always have an opinion. They try to bring you down while they bring themselves up. How long is that friendship going to last? My point, strongholds affect and demolish everything around you when that stronghold in your life doesn't get demolished. It affects your family, it'll affect your marriage, it'll affect your single life, it'll affect your spiritual life. It will break everything around you. You see, a person that's suffering from a stronghold is not only miserable themselves, but they make everyone else miserable around them. When you go to church with someone with a stronghold, that's draining. When you're married to someone with a stronghold, that's frightening. But let's forget everyone else and let's focus back on you. When you look at all these strongholds in your life, there's two truths about strongholds I want to tell you. Number one, we build them ourselves. You build them yourself with your thoughts and your emotions. No one forces a stronghold in your life. So let's establish that, because many people try to argue this and no, this stronghold was just put in my life. No, you put it there. So number one, and most important, I build my strongholds. Number two, because you build it, you can demolish them. Don't accept that lie that these emotions are going to stay with you forever. Let me tell you, your grandfather might have had addiction. Your father might have had addiction. But you don't have to receive and accept that you will have that same addiction. You may have that struggle of shame. You may be dealing with a personal sin that you've committed that you regret. But you don't have to continue this day living in that shame. Whatever grief you may have, whatever discontentment is causing you to feel depression and jealousy and fear, whatever stronghold you have, because I build it, I have the power to destroy it. And you don't have to accept it. You see, Satan wants you to live like this. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what John 10:10 says. And how does Satan do this? By these strongholds. These emotions and thoughts that have a stronghold on your life. God says can be demolished. You might be asking, well, Pastor, how? I've prayed. Doesn't work. I've gone to counseling with you. You don't work. I've tried everything. And I'm still having this stronghold in my life. No matter how many times I go to church, I'm still an angry person. No matter what I do or what I pray or how much I beg God, I still have a struggle with jealousy and financial lack and addiction. And no matter how many times I tell God, I'm not going to do it anymore. Pastor, I have just this, I'm tired of just coming to the altar over and over again and leaving this church the same way. I'm tired of that too. You might be asking, well, how? Three things you need to recognize. to demolish the stronghold. Number one, you guys ready for this? Amen. It's not easy. Remember, it's a painful sermon. Number one, strongholds must first be recognized. Number one, you have to recognize you have a stronghold. And it's your stronghold. Many people look at this. They look at all these emotions that they're experiencing. And you know what their first reaction is? They blame others. They justify. They excuse. They compare. So let's say you're sitting down in counseling with me right now. You're the guilty one. And you say, well, Pastor, I have a problem. I say, yeah, I agree. What is it? Well, Pastor, I'm just angry. Well, I'm glad you're acknowledging that. Oh, I acknowledge I'm angry. But Pastor, I'm angry. There it is. There's the excuse. Here. Wait, let me get my violin real quick. Come on. Tell me, why are you angry? Well, Pastor, this is my wife. She's always nagging. Oh, that's terrible. Well, Pastor, I'm so stressed. Why do we think that anger is justified? Because you're stressed. I just have a stressful job, and the kids are stressing me out, so I just become angry. Well, Pastor, I'm angry because that's how my parents were. That's how I was raised. I'm just angry. And you know what? And I have to change my job. I have to change my marriage. I have to change everything. And maybe I won't be angry. No, you need to change you. And stop blaming everything around you for why you're so angry. We try to justify it. And this is why it becomes impossible for people to recognize their strongholds, because rather than owning up to it and facing it, they blame it, they justify it, and they say, well, Pastor, I know I'm an angry person, but hey, who's not angry? I know I'm an angry person, but hey, God is graceful, and I know He's going to forgive me. So you justify it. Sometimes they compare, Pastor, I know I'm an angry person, but you should see so-and-so. They're even more angry than me. You think I'm bad, Pastor? I think we should pray for Sister Susie here, because she's worse. So there you go. Your stronghold remains to have a stronghold on you, because you're excusing, you're justifying, and you're blaming. But no one in the Bible ever changed their life until they owned up to their own sin, their own stronghold, and told God, I have a stronghold. I can't get over this. And I need your help. So one, recognize your stronghold. Number two, recognize you have power and authority of that stronghold. That's what God says in 2 Corinthians. We have the power to demolish. That word power is literally a word that means to explode. So God says you can explode this stronghold. You can demolish it to a point that it never gets rebuilt in your life. You have that authority in Jesus Christ. And many people that won't know, it's just too strong. My addiction is too strong. I can't get over it. I can't say no. My disappointment, my discontentment, my past, my shame is so strong. Then you make it strong. But God says, I've given you the power and the authority over every stronghold in your life. Point, God says this. You're stronger than this. Fill in the blank. What if God says, hey, you're stronger than that shame? You're stronger than that addiction. Hey, you're stronger than that depression. You're stronger than that jealousy and discontentment. Sometimes strongholds remain strong because we don't recognize our authority and our power. Did you guys see the Dolphins last week get demolished themselves? I did. I actually thought this was our year. I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, interesting thing, as I'm watching the game, there's this little tiny ref. I read up on him. His name's Michael. I remember his last name. His name is Michael. And he's 5'7". That's cute. 5'7", right? And he's a referee there. And then, so One of our Dolphin players, like the biggest lineman there, he does something really bad. And this guy just throws a yellow flag. And this huge lineman just comes up to him. We're talking about 375-pound lineman. 7'2", by the way. Comes up to him. I thought he was about to just beat him down senseless. And I was like, finally, a good thing to watch on TV, yes. And I thought this was going to be huge. And all he didn't even flinch, that ref. He just stood there. And he saw this huge guy coming, and he was cursing them out, and he was all mad. And all he did was this. Ow. And he was ejected from the game. And I thought about that. I said, man, why wasn't he afraid? Why didn't he run? Had it been me, I would have thrown that flag and out. But you know why? Because the NFL gave him authority and the power to call the shots as he saw fit. Can I tell you that we have a devil out there that's big, it's bad, strong? And you might feel like the little guy sometimes. But you have a Heavenly Father that says, I've given you authority to call the shots in your life. So he might come at you. He might try to tempt you. He might try to scare you. But you're more powerful than he is. How many of you need to start calling more shots in your life to that devil? You're just letting him walk all over you with this stronghold. So when I recognize my stronghold, I also recognize that I have power and authority over it. And the last one is simple. Recognize that strongholds are simply powerful thoughts. That's it. Strongholds are all resolved. All of it. No matter how messy your stronghold is today, how many years you've been at it, every stronghold in your life is a result of a thought. Everything from anger to fear to abandonment to shame to lying, financial lack, addiction, jealousy, depression, pride, grief, laziness, discontentment are all products of thinking. Why does that person that has a stronghold of shame feel shame? Because he or she thinks she's unworthy. Why does that person with financial lack have that financial lack and struggle? Because they think they need to buy it. The addicted person says, I think I need this high to escape. The discontented person says, I think I need more. I don't have enough. The prideful person says, I think I'm amazing. The jealous person says, I think I want to be like her. I want to be like him. The angry person says, I just think I'm right. The fearful person says, I just think that what I fear is going to happen. I think I'm going to be alone. I think I'm going to lose everything. I think I'm going to die of this disease. I just think I'm going to get fired. See, all of it is a product of thinking. There's power in your thoughts. That's why the Bible says we demolish strongholds that set itself up against the knowledge of God. That's what strongholds do. They just go against what God says. God says, don't be afraid about tomorrow, but you're afraid about tomorrow. It goes against the knowledge of God. The shameful person says, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I made the biggest mistake of my life, I can't be forgiven, but God's knowledge says, as far as the east is from the west, so much have I moved your sin and your transgression. Nothing can separate me from the love that I have for you. So every stronghold sets itself up against God. But their thoughts. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians 10:5, the verse right after on how to demolish strongholds, it says, take every thought captive. Don't just let your thoughts run wild. We demolish arguments and every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every what? Thought captive. Can you imagine the freedom and the peace and the power and the joy you will experience in your life if you learn to control your thoughts? That's what it means to take captive. It means to overpower and take a hold of. So God says, hey, you need to take a hold of your thinking. If not, your thinking is going to take a hold of you. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm always thinking the worst, but understand this. If thinking got you in there, the stronghold, thinking is what's going to get you out. Not just prayer, not just worship, not just going to church, not just your pastor counseling you. If thinking got you there, thinking will get you out. That's why God says, take every thought captive. How do I do that? Philippians 4:8 instructs us how. In Philippians 4:8, God says it clearly, if you have a stronghold in your life. Finally, brothers, meaning Christians, whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. You know what God says here? That's how you break out of a stronghold. Whatever you're thinking right now, ask yourself, is it true? If you're saying, well, God can't forgive me right now, is that really true? Because then you'll be the first. Is that true? Whatever you're thinking, is it noble? Is it lovely? Does it give you peace? Is it excellent? If you have thoughts of jealousy, well, I don't know, she thinks she's all that, look at her. Oh, she thinks she's better than, you think those thoughts are excellent? Then stop thinking about it. And start thinking about the right things. If you're discontent, start thinking about what you do have and thank God. If you're angry at someone right now, you can't forgive them, think about the mistakes you've made and how God has forgiven you. Whatever is noble and pure and right and praiseworthy and excellent, that's what I'm going to think about. So as David is in that cave, in that stronghold, he starts thinking about water. He says, man, I wish I can get the water back in Bethlehem. I just want that water. And that water will feel so good right now. That's what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking out loud because someone heard him. They brought the water. And they're here, David. We risked our life for this water. But here's the water you thought about. And as David was like, man, this is awesome. As he's about to drink it, it's like the Holy Spirit hit him with conviction and says, David, that's wrong. How can you drink that water knowing everyone else is thirsty with you in this stronghold? How can you drink that water knowing that they risked their lives for it? And David just got that water. And it was hard and it was difficult. But he poured it out to the Lord. See, when I read that, I said, David, you just explained how to defeat a stronghold. Let me ask you this question today, like that water. What are you thinking about right now that's not right? What are you thinking about right now that's going to hurt others? What selfish thought possesses you now? That's what that water represents. It would have been good for David, but bad for everyone else. It would have been satisfying for a moment, but it would have been so disheartening after. And even though he wanted it, he knew it was wrong. And he poured it to God. Church, if you have any wrong thoughts right now, whatever that list says, when you look at those strongholds, what if right now you're holding a cup of anger? But you keep thinking about what they did. You keep thinking about how they hurt you. You keep thinking about all the wrong. But then God says, hey, that cup you're holding is wrong. Just pour it out to me. You're holding a cup of fear. And you know that that fear is wrong because you're a child of God. How can you be afraid of tomorrow knowing God is in control? And you're saying, well, Pat, I just can't help thinking about this, and I just want to think about this fearful thing. And God says, that's wrong. You better pour that out to me. You're holding a cup of addiction. You're thinking, I got to go back to it. I need it one last time. I know God's going to forgive me. And you're holding that addiction in your hands. And you want to drink it so bad, but God says, listen, if you drink that and you give in to that thought that you had, it's going to hurt others and it's so wrong. Pour it out to me. And David poured himself out to the Lord. And just a few chapters later, the Lord defeated the enemy. David got back his territory and enjoyed the harvest. What if I'm telling you right now, if you pour it out to God, start meditating on the truthful, right, honorable thoughts, that in no time God's going to take you out of that stronghold. He's going to defeat the enemy in your life once and for all, and you're going to get back what the enemy has taken from you. You might be one thought away from getting your family back. You might be one thought away getting a job. You might be one thought away getting free from that addiction. You're just one thought away. And God says, I know if you give in to it, you're going to regret it. But if you pour it out to me, I'll get you out of this stronghold. I'll defeat your enemy. And I will give you back the territory the enemy thought he possessed. So I don't know who I'm preaching to today. But it's time for you to get back what the enemy has stolen from you. And it's time for you to demolish every stronghold that has set itself up through your thoughts. Can we all stand to our feet so I can pray with you today? And I want you to look one last time before we pray at any of these strongholds you might be having right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed today, I want to pray over you today. If you're saying, Pastor, I recognize I have a stronghold. I'm not going to blame it. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to justify it. I'm not going to ignore it. I recognize also I have power and authority that I have not been displaying over this stronghold in my life. And I recognize that all this has been built by me and my thoughts, and I put myself in this stronghold. But you're telling God today, I want to get my territory back. I want to pour this out to God, and I want Him to get me out of this stronghold so I can experience the harvest and the blessing that He wants me to have. So hey, would you lift your hands up today as an act of confession to the Lord if you're in a stronghold today? Right now, show me your hands. You're saying, Pastor, I'm in a stronghold right now. God bless you, you there. All around the room today, if you're saying, I'm in a stronghold right now. Father, I think right now is the time that you need to start delivering everyone here that has a stronghold. Father, their thoughts have taken them captive. They're captive by now depression. They're captive by anger. They've been captured, Lord, by addiction, loneliness, and pride. And fear has just taken them so captive, they no longer experience the harvest, but have now allowed the enemy to take over their territory as they lay there miserable and void and empty and thirsty inside a stronghold. But Lord, your word says that if anyone is thirsty, they may come to you. So Father, I pray for this church today. And I pray, Lord, over the authority given to you and for us right now by the authority of Jesus Christ and the power that He died for you to receive right now. You command that stronghold to be taken captive. And you tell yourself right now, I will not let this overcome me. I am more powerful and I am stronger, and you fill in the blank, whatever stronghold that is right now. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that every stronghold in this church or those that are listening online right now, that it may be demolished. That they may experience the freedom and the blessing and the authority that you've given them. Set them free now, God, and help them to think the right thoughts, to get them away from those strongholds as they pour out to you. Listen to their cries now, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You give God some praise. I feel led now to pray for anyone that you have in your life that you love that's in the stronghold. Hey, because there's parents here that have a child right now in the stronghold. There's a spouse here who has their spouse in the stronghold. You may have a friend right now that's in the stronghold. You know, God can take care of them too. You guys believe that? Can we pray for them? Father, I pray for any one of our loved ones. Right now, the enemy has just taken them captive. But right now, Lord, they have occupied territory that does not belong to them. I pray for any marriage, any family, any relationship, any home that the enemy has taken captive and now has prevented them from experiencing their harvest. For any loved one in a stronghold now, God, that we want to see so desperately free. For any one of our loved ones that have lost love and joy and peace. For anyone the devil has right now. Father, I pray, wherever they may be, that you will cause them to recognize their stronghold, to recognize the power and the authority they can have with you. And Father, help them to break free from that stronghold by the capturing of their thoughts. And give them power now in the name of Jesus. We surrender them over to you. Set them free by your blood in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Give God praise when they're going to get delivered. They're going to get